About 30 years ago, a little over 30 years ago, in Good Housekeeping magazine, there was a columnist there that was giving advice, marriage advice, on whom to choose, the person to pick to marry. And she wrote this article, Six Ways to Learn Everything You Ever Need to Know About a Man Before You Decide to Marry Him. And I want to tell you what those six things are. We're going to apply it to both men and women this evening. She said, watch them drive in heavy traffic. Play tennis or golf with them. Listen to them talk to their mother when they don't know that anybody's listening. See how they treat those who serve them, like a waiter at a restaurant or a maid at a hotel. Notice what they're willing to spend their money on to buy things. And then last of all, she said, look at their friends. And if you still can't make up your mind, then look at their shoes. How a person keeps his shoes in good repair generally tends to the rest of his life also. Now, I know what you're tempted to do. You're trying to look down at your shoes right now, but don't do it. This columnist was basically saying that when you go to pick out a person for marriage, it's not the outward appearance. That's not the main thing. You look at these things, they deal with character, and that's what we're going to talk about this evening. So if they're in heavy traffic and they can make it all the way through without cussing and cursing, you might have a pretty good person on your hands, you know. If you can play tennis or golf with them and they're not fudging the numbers and cheating a little bit, you might have a good person to hold on to, and on down the line. I like the one about talking to their mother when they don't know anybody's listening. That's a good one, isn't it? And maybe other people as well. We're going to talk this evening about godly character as we wrap up our study of the book of Genesis and as we look this evening at the life of Joseph. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 7, eventually we'll get back to Genesis, but we want to start with Stephen's message about Joseph in Acts chapter 7, if you'll turn with me there. And in just a moment, we will start reading in verse 9, Acts chapter 7 in verse 9. Character is what is inside of us. It's the moral compass, one way or the other, that we have inside of us. It's either the godly values that we have inside of us from Scripture, or it could be worldly values, but it's what is inside of us that we keep with us each day, good or bad. It doesn't change like outward appearances and outward circumstances. It tends to stay pretty stable every day, one way or the other. And we're going to talk about the character of Joseph. We've been talking about the book of Genesis, and we looked at the four great events in Genesis 1 through 11, creation, the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. And we've looked at the four great patriarchs, Abraham, a man of faith, and Isaac, a man of peace, Jacob, a man of trouble, and this evening, Joseph, a man of character. I appreciate, for example, in our public schools, we have these character counts programs. We try to teach our young people character, and I think that that's good. And I think with some of our young folks, that might be about all the message of character that they get in life. Those of you here this evening, that young people that have godly parents, they're trying to give you that extra character that comes from God's Word. But character does count. And it's really what is going to count in the judgment day. Not our looks, not our education, not what kind of a job we have. Not where we live, not what side of town we live on, in the house that we live in the cars that we drive. What's going to count in the judgment day is our character. And I hope that we can learn this evening from Joseph, a man of character. And what we're going to find this evening is that in Joseph's life, there were three things that we want to focus in on. There were three experiences. There were three things that he went through that showed his character. We're going to see this evening that he experienced mistreatment from his family and others around him. And yet he was a man of character. We're going to see this evening that he rose to great prominence and power and position in In Egypt, he would be like a prime minister or a governor. And yet, at the height of his success, he's still a man of character. And then we're going to see number three, that in life in general was against him in many kinds of ways. And God, through his providence, allowed him to go through a lot of afflictions in life. And yet, through all of that, he remains a man of character. What can we learn this evening from Joseph? In Acts chapter 7, I'd like to begin reading, if you will, with me in verse 9. Stephen, of course, preaching in Jerusalem, gives a brief history of the children of Israel. He starts with Abraham and he moves up to them working their way through the wilderness and then eventually David building the temple and so forth. He wraps up his sermon and he dies. What a abrupt ending to this preacher and his message. But along the way, he does have some things to say about Joseph. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 9, Stephen preaches the patriarchs. This is going to be the sons of Israel, the sons of Jacob, the patriarchs moved with jealousy. In other words, Joseph's brothers. The patriarchs moved with jealousy against Joseph and sold him into Egypt. And God was with him and delivered him out of all of his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a famine over all Egypt and Canaan and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent forth our fathers the first time, and the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's race became manifest unto Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and called to him Jacob his father and all his kindred, 75 souls. And Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, himself and his fathers, and they were carried over unto Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a price of silver of the sons of Hamor in Shechem. In just a few short verses here, Stephen gives the life of Jacob, a story that is told in Genesis 37 through 50. This 11th son of Jacob by Rachel, some 93 years, Stephen compresses that in a few short verses. And if you look at his statements again, you see those three things that we just mentioned. Look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 9 again. The patriarchs moved with jealousy against Joseph and sold him into Egypt. The first thing that we're going to see this evening is that when Joseph was mistreated by his family and then later others, he still remains a man of character. Then look at verse 10, that he was given favor and wisdom before Pharaoh and he made him governor over Egypt. Here's his success. And in times of success, he still remained a man of character. And then we find that there was a famine in Egypt and there was great affliction. And we find that still Joseph is a man of character. Let's see that this evening in a lesson that I hope that we can learn, that character does indeed count. When you look at Joseph, I think of a New Testament word, faithful, which means trustworthy. This is not the word faith in the sense of having faith in God. He did. And faith in God is important, but this is faithful. This is trustworthy. No matter what God gave him, no matter what hand he was dealt, from a teenager all the way to old age, he was trustworthy. And we can be that way today. You see that Joseph crossed a number of different circumstances in his life. For example, different ages are given here in the story of Genesis. He goes from 17 years old to 110 years old, and he's faithful during all of those different ages. We can be a teenager and be trustworthy and be right with God, and we have some here this evening that I believe are doing that. And we can be a young married person, and we can be a middle-aged person, and we can be an elderly person, and in all of those stages we can be trustworthy. We find also that Joseph was in different locations He's in his homeland in Hebron before he's taken down into Egypt, and he spends the rest of his life there. And no matter where he lived, he was trustworthy. Sometimes when people change things in their life, it's almost an excuse for them to lose their character. They use that as an excuse. This change has happened in my life, and that change has happened in my life. And when we have to change locations, if we had to change, for example, for a job and move halfway across the country, that is stressful, and there are difficult things that go along with that. And when we pass through the different stages of our life, there are challenges to being a teenager and a 20-something and a middle-aged and all of that. But we can remain a person of character in all of that. We find that Joseph had different circumstances, going from a pit to being a prisoner to being prime minister. And yet we find in all of those that he is a person of character. He didn't allow different age categories and different geographic locations and different circumstances in his life to shake him in such a way that he just falls apart morally and spiritually. But he remains trustworthy in all of those situations. And that's our model for this evening. We can do the same. And we find that he was given different responsibilities. And whether it was feeding a flock or feeding a nation of Egypt and everything in between, he's just trustworthy. He just does what he's supposed to do. And we need to be like that. And it doesn't matter whether we're working on our homework, or we're taking a test, or we're going for a job, or we're taking care of a baby in diapers, or we're out working, or we're in the Lord's church serving. It doesn't matter our responsibilities, from washing dishes to watching over the Lord's flock. It doesn't matter what it is. We're going to be trustworthy. And so let's look at Joseph and see how that we can be the same. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. As we wrap up our overview and survey of the book of Genesis, let's look at about 93 years or so of a man from a teenager to old age. And let's see how that he is a trustworthy man of character. When we come to Genesis chapter 37 and we see this young man out tending the flocks of his family, we find, first of all, this evening that good character is developed when a person is hated without a cause and still acts decently and properly. This may happen at work. This may happen at school. This may happen in a number of areas of our life. And we're not to let that be an excuse to act in an improper way. We know the story of Genesis chapter 37, how that Israel or Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his children, verse 3. And he made him a coat of many colors. But that set him up for some family problems. If as a parent we have that kind of preferential treatment in our children, that's going to set them up for maybe some envy and some jealousy and some problems there. And it did that very thing. And so we find in the next verse that his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, and they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Well, they could, but they just chose not to. And so from this time onward, we find these kinds of things in his life. His brothers didn't like the fact that he could receive dreams. This is at a time where God reveals himself through dreams. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God used different ways to reveal his word at this time, and dreams was one of those. And he was able to receive dreams and interpret those things. And when he did that, verse 11, his brethren envied him. Even verse 10, his father rebuked him. And so the cards are against him, we might say, from the very beginning. And no matter what God gives him in life, he is a man of character. So So we come down to verse 18, and they saw him afar off, and before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And we know the rest of the story, where they throw him in a pit, and then eventually he's sold into the land of Egypt. Brethren, first of all, this evening, we need to understand that when that happens in our life, and there are going to be situations that come up where we didn't ask for this or that, and somebody may not like us in some kind of way, but we have to act decently and properly and faithfully and be a good Christian regardless. We need to be like Jesus. That's what happened to him. Turn with me to John chapter 15. He received that type of treatment from the world, and yet he acted with character all the way through. We need to follow the example of Jesus. When we do go to school and go to work and other places where this kind of thing can happen, we need to be persons of character. Character is forged in these types of situations in our life. In John chapter 15 and verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But that it has come to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Joseph didn't ask for this, and yet he bore up under it and acted properly. And at the time of his trial and crucifixion, 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23, when he reviled not again. And Peter says that is to be our example. Anybody can stoop to the level of the persecutor. They hated him, verse 4, and we can hate back. They envied him, verse 11, and we can envy back. They conspired against him, verse 18, and we can conspire back. Anybody can do that. But God calls us to be better than that. And so, how will we act in the face of mistreatment? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 how to do that. We're to take what we used to call the high road. We're to take the, we might say, the gospel road, the Sermon on the Mount road, the biblical truth road. That's the road we need to take. And he says that you have heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus is upholding the old law that when there is a crime, the punishment needs to fit the crime. But where some of the Jews had gone overboard was they had taken an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth to mean you can actively retaliate against somebody. And that's where he says no. Resist not him that is evil, but whosoever smiteth thee on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. I don't believe Jesus is condemning even a self-defense here. What he's condemning is retaliation and getting somebody back through vengeance and doing to them what they did to you. So when somebody does this, when they smite you on the right cheek, turn also the other. And if any man would go to law with thee, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak. And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Be a peaceable person. And turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. As much as lieth within you, we are to be at peace with others. Render to no man evil for evil. And that's what Joseph did. He didn't give back the hatred and the envy and the conspiracy. He didn't give that back to them. When he's thrown in the pit and he's sold into Egypt, he just acts in a godly way. So when these types of things, brethren, happen to you in your personal lives, follow the example of Joseph. He's a man of character. The world says, get him back. The world says if you get punched, punch them back. If a person cusses you out, you cuss them out. That's not what God wants us to do. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, be at peace with all men. And verse 19, there is a place. There is a place for someone who has done us wrong to be punished by God, but that's God's place. And God will certainly remember that and take care of that. Our place, verse 20, is to do them good and not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And verse 20, if we heap coals of fire on their head, we might even help them. We might burn in their conscience the activities that they've been doing and help them to make a change. But doing what they're doing certainly is not going to help them to change. Be a man and a woman of character. And godly character is developed when a person is hated without a cause and still acts decently and properly. But something else. Turn with me to Genesis 39 and verse 2. We begin to see that Joseph is going to go from a pit to being a prime minister. He's going to go from being down in a hole to ruling Egypt. And you take a person like that and you set them from one extreme to the other, that can cause a lot of problems. We see in modern day politicians and other rulers even around the world where someone rises to prominence and popularity. We see it in Hollywood. We see it in movies and music and stars and athletes and things like that. You dangle some money in front of them. You dangle some power and some position in front of them. Some of them can handle it. Many of them do not. And so we find that they end up in jail. They end up in some terrible, committing some crime. They were once throwing a football for hundreds of yards, and now they're in jail. What happened? They went and rose to success, but they didn't have that inward godly character to help them navigate all of that, and now they're in trouble. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2, we find that Joseph goes from being in a pit to beginning to have responsibility, first in Potiphar's house and then later over all of Egypt. And we begin to see where the text is saying that God is with him and God is doing this for him and God is doing that for him. So what does he do? He handles that with godly character. Chapter 39, verse 2, Jehovah was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man. He went from a pit to prosperity. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 9, Joseph says of himself when Potiphar's wife wants to come and lay with him, he is not greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Joseph has great prominence already. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything, even when he's thrown in prison after Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him. He's acting properly even in prison. The keeper of the house looked not to anything that was under his hand because Jehovah was with him, and that which he did, Jehovah made him to prosper. We're going to go on to chapter 40 in just a minute with regard to interpreting the dreams, but just look right here. Here this woman is making sexual advances toward him. And he could have said, hey, I've got a little prosperity now. I'm doing pretty good. It won't be a problem if I commit fornication this one time. Maybe I deserve it. I went from being in a pit to working my way up, and I've worked hard, and so we might have the entitlement mentality, or I deserve it, or I deserve a break today, that type of thing. And I've gotten into being a pretty good person now, so this one time won't matter. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have a sexual relationship with you. I'm not going to sin against God. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to betray my master's trust. He's a man of character, even in times of success. And he's falsely accused for it and lied about it with the woman. She made it look like she was the victim, turned it all the way around, and he still acts properly when he's thrown in prison for it. In chapter 40, he can interpret dreams. And notice, in verse 8 that he gives credit to God. He doesn't, well, I've got power and prestige and popularity now, and by the way, I can interpret your dreams. It's always God. God gives me this ability, and God can do this. Chapter 40 and verse 8. Chapter 41 and verse 16. God will give Pharaoh an answer. Verse 28, verse 32, and so forth. And then he's made ruler of Egypt. The second area of our life where we're going to experience periods of success. Graduate from school or graduate from college, that might be a period. I get my first job. My family's going. I've got a nice car. I've got a nice home. And those things have a place in our life. But it's at those moments that the devil can use to get us to fall and falter. We won't read the whole thing, but chapter 41, verses 37 through 45, when Joseph is made a ruler in Egypt. Verse 44, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or his foot in all the land." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave unto him his wife Aseneth, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. But you find him being a godly person. Like Jesus. I use this example, if you'll turn with me to the baptism of Jesus. I use this example in the life of Jesus as what I might call a period of success. This is when Jesus goes down into be baptized and he hears his Father and the Holy Spirit descends out of heaven as a dove and he hears his Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and I've just been baptized and I just did what God wanted me to do and I'm on top of the world," and immediately he is driven into the wilderness to be tempted. And what does he do there? Every time he says, "It is written," and he remains faithful to God. He could have said, "Hey, I've just been baptized and I just did what God wanted me to do, so I can maybe ease up a little bit in my personal character and maybe, you know, Burger King, remember that? You deserve a break today. Maybe just take a little break from this godly character thing and live the way I want." But he's on top of the world. The heavens opened up. I like what Seth mentioned recently in Bible class, the three times in the Scripture in the life of Christ where the heavens open. That'd make a great lesson. The heavens opened up, and here you hear this thing, and you're thinking, "Wow." And then that's when the devil comes. If you look at Luke's account, the text says that when the devil had tempted him in all these ways, that he left for a season. He's going to come back. And there would be other times, especially toward the end of Jesus' ministry, where the devil would try to get him. There's no pride here. There's no ego here. When the success comes, we thank the Lord. We thank Him for the good things that He's given us, and we maintain our character all along the way. How will we act? We typically associate success with money, so I'll mention that, but it could be success in a number of different kinds of ways. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're not going to let the love of money be a root of all kinds of evil. What we're going to do is, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, we're not going to have our hope. First of all, we're not going to be high-minded. Look at that. We're not going to be high-minded. Proud. Look at my success. Then that's when we begin to fall. "Let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall." That's when we start falling. So we're not going to be high-minded. Number two, we're not going to have our hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. We're going to keep our hope set on God. And then verse 18 and 19, we're going to share. We're going to give it to others. We're going to help those. We're going to help in the kingdom. We're going to help those outside the church. We're going to give. And verse 19, we're going to work on our heavenly bank account. Not the one down the street where we deposit our money, but our heavenly bank account. So even in times of success, Joseph was a man of character. And number three, good character is developed when a person experiences bad things in life in general and still submits to God's will. We know that Joseph starts out in a pit, and then he's later put in a prison. And there are times in his life where things are not well by God's providence. And yet he continues to live properly. In chapter 37 and verse 28, we know that he sold for 20 pieces of silver and brought into Egypt. We know in chapter 39, after Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him, that he's thrown into a prison and he has to stay there. And he's even forgotten by those who are in prison. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Chapter 40, verse 23. And on and on and on. Come with me to chapter 50. We're familiar with this particular passage. When Joseph is looking back over his life, he realizes that God has given him this in life, and he always has a faith in God. And our scripture reading this evening was from Hebrews chapter 11, where the text says that by faith, Joseph made mention of his bones. That might seem like some strange thing. But he's saying, I know that God is going to come one day and get all of my people out of Egypt, all of my relatives, and they're all going to be brought out of Egypt. And you take those bones of mine when you leave. It is faith in God's plan. Verse 25, God will surely visit you. And that's all based upon his previous experience with God. Chapter 50, verse 15, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us. Well, if he wasn't a man of character, he probably would have. But he was a man of character, and that was not in his plan. It may be that Joseph will hate us and will fully requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the transgression of thy brethren and their sin, for that they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? That's not my role to requite you. And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. As a result of that famine and bringing Jacob and his family down into Egypt, they're going to be able to thrive and grow and become a mighty nation. And fulfilling that promise to Abraham, that of you will come a great nation. How did that come about? By God, in part, working through Joseph, and that plan had some bad things to it. But it was for the good of bringing about a great nation and to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear not. I will nourish you and your little ones. It's not what you think. I'm not going to get you back. He's a man of character, and so he's going to treat them differently. And so he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And then the rest of the chapter there about by faith, he said, God's going to visit us again, and you take my bones with you when he does. There's going to be those types of things in our life, and we're going to submit to God's plan, whatever God wants for us. Like Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. We don't find bitterness in his life. We don't find at the end of a life where there was much mistreatment by various individuals. We don't find him embittered and disgusted and wanting to quit. But we find in Matthew 26 and verse 39 in the garden, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Whatever your will is. And that was Joseph's attitude, because he's a man of character. God's plan, God's will is always the best, even if it includes those things that are difficult. How will we act in the face of bad things? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 and Colossians 3 and verse 8, we're to put away bitterness and we're to be a forgiving person. That takes character to do that very kind of thing. A lesser person would be someone, well, I'm going to retaliate. And that's why the brothers immediately thought, our father has just died. This guy is going to put a whooping on us. Why were they even thinking that? Because that's what people of the world typically do. They knew that people do that. That's what they're thinking. But he was different. And that's tonight's lesson, brethren. Be men and women of character. Be different from those around us. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. Look with me at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. But now put them all away, anger and wrath and malice and railing and shameful speaking out of your mouth. And jump down to verse 12. Put on a heart of compassion and kindness and lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do you. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Not only that, but turn with me to James chapter 1 and verse 3. Not only the attitude of forgiveness and putting away bitterness, but the attitude of perseverance all the way to the end. Knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience, and let patience or endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. When we're not men and women of character, and we do the things of the world, we're not the complete person that Jesus wants us to be. To be complete, we have to have that character in us. To be patient all the way to the end. And the reward, verse 12, is the crown of life. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. We have to have that patience that goes through those difficult times. The proof of your faith being more precious than gold. Character is more important than money and all the gold in the world. And the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, though it perishes, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor when? At the revelation of Jesus Christ, when He comes again. So as we close this evening, character, I don't want to give just a dictionary definition. Let's give a definition from a man named Joseph. Character is acting properly when you're hated without a cause. Character is acting properly even when you're successful. Character is acting properly when bad things happen to you. And you may not understand it all. And I don't think Joseph understood every little thing along the way. But he knew that it was God working for good. And we may not understand all of the whys and wherefores, but God only has good for us. Character. It's forged in the crucible of life's circumstances, good or bad, from a pit to a prison to a prime minister. It doesn't matter what it is. That's where it's forged. And young people, your life is being forged right now. What kind of a character will you have? Will you just give in and go with the easy thing of the world? Or will you be that young man and young woman that God wants you to be? It's centered in faith and trust in God. We find that when Potiphar's wife comes to him, he says, I can't do this great wickedness and sin against God. It was always focused on God. It was never about me and that type of thing, but God. And with a strong faith in God, we'll be trustworthy all along the way and we'll have that character. And it's devoted to serving with honor and dependability and trustworthiness. Can you imagine the man that Pharaoh got in that deal? Man alive. Pharaoh got a great deal. Not just someone who is savvy in how to work the grain and save it up.
And then you'll have grain when there's a famine. That's a neat thing. But he got a man that did everything in his life, personal and public, private and political, with faith in God. And we can be that way today.
Character is undeterred by hatred and betrayal. And it's forgiving. Character sees the big picture of God's providence. And I hope this week we will see the big picture of God's providence. Are you and I faithful and trustworthy in all things? Do you have that true Bible character that Joseph had? We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement this evening. You might want to begin showing your character by coming and being baptized into Christ. Or as a child of God, if you need to come back, and we can pray together for you. All things are ready. You can certainly do that. Let's go out this week and every week and be men and women of character. What do your shoes look like? I hadn't thought about that. That might be something I need to go home and put some polish on my shoes. Apparently how we take care of our shoes is how we take care of other things in our life. I'm not sure about that one, but I am sure about what we studied this evening, that when we handle life the way Joseph did, we truly are persons of character. Let's go out and do that in this ever-changing world that we're in, this ungodly world that we're in. Go out and be those godly Christian characters that He would want us to be. If we can help you in coming to Christ this evening, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?